Hello and welcome to the Nat Coombs Show on ESPN in association with Betfred and a brand new weekly episode of the pod gang, Edge Rush. Welcome to Edge Rush, where we take a closer look at some of the weekend's games and tee up some of the best action that you need to be looking at. Right alongside me, a man whose dedication and commitment to sports gambling knows no bounds. Many of you will know him from our show as producer Ollie. What's going on, Ollie? Are we winning?
Are we winning? Who knows, Nat? Who knows? Let's be honest. I think we should be.
We should be. Some kind of tally here.
I would say so. I would say it's been a relatively successful year. I thought it was easier
already
at the beginning.
Already bragging.
I'd say it was easier at the beginning of the season because the overs were just flying in left, right and centre. Whereas I think with the weather coming in, for us to be starting a gambling podcast the week after we both backed the over in the Texans-Browns game is slightly bold.
I love the fact that you are already dropping that. Yeah, you look at the weather. Like a week ago, I had to point you, to alert you to the fact that you need to be looking at weather now if it's a game not in a dome. So you're already claiming that as your insight. But you do know a thing or two. So it's great to have you alongside me for this. I was going to give you the nickname Prop-O, right? Because you love prop bets instead of Prop Joe, Prop-O. Until you told me about 2 hours ago, you've never seen The Wire.
I have never seen The Wire.
So most of our listeners out there who have, because I know they're a illiterate bunch, would just be shaking their heads right now as they're listening to this. Wherever you're listening to us, good to have you with us. Big shout out to our partners, Betfred. Appreciate their support. All right, let's get down to business. Let's start with Monday Night Football. Why not, right? We're company men after all.
Yeah, 100%. Bucks Rams, over-unders at 47.5. The line is currently Bucks minus 4.5. It did open around Bucks minus 3, but a lot of money has been coming in on Tampa Bay, which is interesting when you look at the statistics. Mm. Tampa Bay are 2-8-2 against the spread in the last 12 games at home. And also, there's a lot of people saying that the new Tom Brady narrative is that he can't do it in prime time because he's lost to the Bears in prime time. He got absolutely smacked by the Saints in prime time. And then he only managed to beat the Giants by 2 points in prime time. Do you buy into any of that, Nat?
I love that. Tom Brady, if there is an example of not just an NFL player, but an athlete in the history of sport that is unbelievable in prime time, I think it's probably Tom Brady.
It's insane, isn't it? Do you want to hear one narrative that I read? I genuinely read this. Apparently, he's not doing well in prime time because his bedtime during the week is 8:30 p.m. Someone genuinely wrote that as a reason to back the Rams.
Do you know what Tom Brady does as part of his pre-bedtime activities? Watches The Wire. He's been watching the boxing leg. It's absolutely true. Nonsense, ridiculous. The Saints game was particularly woeful, but for all kinds of reasons, not least that the Saints were playing out of their skin on both sides of the ball, and significantly, Tampa Bay deviated from the run. I mean, it was extraordinary why that was their game plan. They had, I think, less than 10 total yards on the ground, which obviously removes that aspect of their offense, but also completely affects the play action, which is what they've been relying on so significantly. So a bizarre strategy there, completely realigned, and we saw what they were able to do against Carolina, 544 total yards. Admittedly, Ronald Jones got 86% of those yards, but they were just in complete rhythm, right? And this was really key, I thought. When you think of this matchup against the Rams and the Jalen Ramsey factor, Ramsey, of course, who took out DK Metcalf, completely shut him down against the Hawks the week before. Against Carolina, Brady was spraying it around. He didn't need to concentrate on one particular receiver, which is a key to their offense, right? No single player had more than 7 catches or collectively 92 yards. If Ramsey is going to take out Evans or take out the most productive receiver on the day, I don't think that's going to affect them too much. Few things that are going to be really interesting here defensively. With Andrew Whitworth out, that's a huge loss for the Rams. Obviously, anybody losing your blindside tackle is a huge loss, but particularly when Jared Goff's your quarterback, because every quarterback is different under pressure. Obviously, their ability is reduced under pressure, but there are some more acute than others. And Goff is, I think, amongst the most Jekyll and Hyde quarterbacks in the NFL. When he's under pressure, he's a totally different player. So that's fascinating. The flip side of that is whether this Tampa line can get into Rams, like, can get into Brady's face. Can Donald get into, and Brock is in the mix, Leonard Floyd from the outside as well, because that's the ticket to beating Tom Brady, as we know, right? We've seen it time and time again. The most effective game plan against Brady is up the middle in his face.
So with all of that in mind, are you leaning towards over or under 47.5 points? Looking at it, five of the last six Rams games have had 40 or less points. And as you've just said, when the Bucs tend to come up against strong pass rushing teams such as the Saints and the Bears, they don't score a lot of points. So statistics tend to see it going towards the under. But what do you think?
It's fascinating. The ground game's key as well, right? Because I think if we're going to get, you can get over that total, the Rams have to establish a ground game, right? I think that's a fundamental. And I don't know if they will against this Bucs D, which is so sturdy against the run, despite Vita Vea not being there because of injury. Everything you're saying lends itself to the under, but I think Brady will carry on where he left off against the Panthers. I don't think they're going to be as productive, but I think that they could easily put up 27-plus points.
Yeah.
And so I'm slightly leaning over. I don't feel strongly about it, but if I do take a look at this game, it will be over.
I think it makes sense from what you've said to take the Bucs over line, which would probably be around that area anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that would be something for people to look at. Kansas City, Vegas.
COVID's affected this quite a lot, right?
Because
the Raiders have been hit. So where's the line at the moment? We're recording this Friday afternoon.
So the line is at Chiefs -7. So they've been giving a touchdown. And the over-under is at 56.5, which is obviously in light of the game where there was 279 points the last time they played. It was like 40-32. It was absolutely ridiculous. But I'm not 100% sure that the over-under should be that high, taking into account everything. I mean, the Raiders' pass defense ranks 25th in the league. So, obviously, I see the Kansas City scoring a lot of points. But at the same time, we all know Andy Reid off a bye week. He's 18-3. And I don't think he's going to be concerned about his offense in that bye week. I think all he's going to be thinking about is his D. I think that's all he would have been doing is trying to stop Derek Carr and this Raiders offense.
Yeah, and try and stop the run, because that's what the Raiders will look at, right? Because that's obviously their strong suit in particular. And it's the Achilles heel of the Chiefs' run D. The only thing I think more dangerous than a return game against this particular Chiefs and Andy Reid and Mahomes in particular, when you have rubbed their noses in it, which the Raiders did by driving around Arrowhead doing his victory lap. The only thing more dangerous is facing that exact same Chiefs side after a bye week.
Yeah,
they are going to unleash hell on the Raiders. I love this slide. Look, I don't care if it goes up potentially to double digits. I might follow it all the way out there.
Yeah.
Cert Evan, I'm all over that.
Yeah, no, 100%. Going in addition to what you just said, the statistics just all are in favor of Kansas City. 15-3 against the spread in their last 18 games. That is absolutely ridiculous, of course, including the Super Bowl. Chiefs 9-1 against the spread in their previous 10 contests against teams with a winning record. And then if you want to flip down Vegas are 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 games at home. So everything is looking towards Kansas City easily covering the points here.
Yeah, I feel much more strongly about that than the over-under. Look, and we should just be really clear, the COVID issue has taken out Cleveland Farrell, at least on the Raiders D, and potentially others, including Jonathan Abram, who were in close proximity, so are testing regularly. So, you know, it's day-to-day as to whether they'll start. So you could end up situation here where a lot of the Raiders D are out, certainly a couple of starters quite possibly, irrespective of that, and that will change the line even more, but irrespective of that, Chiefs much more than the over-under. And I guess same as you were saying for the previous game, probably shading more towards team total for Kansas City, although that's a big number. But seven looks good to me. All right, what's next? We're going Colts-Packers?
We are going Colts-Packers. So this has been an interesting one because the line opened at Packers -2.5. So Packers went into this initially as favourites, and then the money just absolutely flowed in for the Colts. And now we're looking at a -2.5 in favour of the Colts. The over-under is at 51.5. I think that's largely due to the fact that the Colts absolutely blew out the Titans last week, and the Packers rank in the top 5 in points scored and passing touchdowns. And of course, it's indoors, so that old weather won't affect us. Where are you leaning towards in this one?
I agree, Bale. Like they are this season, they're like they were last season, right? One of the best records in the league. No one's really buying them. So part of me thinks this could be a really interesting game in the course and trajectory of this season, right? And if we kind of link a few points of Brady had his nose bloodied on primetime, so of course he was going to unleash hell against Carolina. We were talking about this earlier on before we started recording about Thursday Night Football, which is, of course, to happen last night. And the Seahawks, yeah. Both you and I were on. And it's worth pointing out to our listeners, you know, you produced the show for a while now. We probably spend as much time talking about the action and gambling on the NFL as we do about the actual NFL. Yeah. But they are actual work. And we were saying last night, messaging like all over Seattle for that reason, that it was a great opportunity for the defense, which has been absolutely vilified, to step up and prove a point, which to a degree they did. Certainly the pass rush, which is getting better for Seattle, did that, right? I think this is the same kind of game, potentially. And when you've got a player like Aaron Rodgers, an all-time great, I think this could be a game. Everybody's raving about, is this Colts defense the best defense in the NFL right now? Or is receivers, apart from Devontae Adams, they're terrible. They should have drafted a receiver. He can't believe they didn't draft a receiver and they drafted a successor. All of these stories, I think, can come together. I think the Packers can... I can see Rodgers going off here, and Lazard should be back. If they can get the ground game going, and Aaron Jones in particular, which they didn't really manage to do last time, I think the Packers, it could be very interesting. It's teed up for me. I can see where why the money's coming in on the Colts, but it's teed up for me for Aaron Rodgers to have one of those days where he just carves them apart.
And I think it's interesting, before the news broke about Devontae Adams missing training on Thursday due to an ankle injury, I was absolutely convinced to take the Packers here. It was their first chance to have Devontae Adams, Alan Lazard and Aaron Jones all in the field since week three. But at the same time, I think Adams is going to play. That's what reports are suggesting, despite the injury. The interesting one otherwise is, you know, the Packers have never won in Indianapolis. Never.
What? Ever?
Yeah, never.
The other thing as well, I guess, the run game for the Colts is, you know, Marlon Mack is a big loss, right? And they're ranked 29th. Yeah, I think.
Do you think the fact that this is so? Green Bay are 4-1 in road games against the spread, and I actually think playing inside in Indianapolis, despite the fact they've never won there, is going to massively benefit the Packers, because it basically means that Aaron Rodgers is going to have license to throw the ball as much as he wants. That saying that Adams and Alan Lazard are playing. Yeah. I think instead of being in a windy, rainy Lambeau Field, playing inside Indianapolis gives Rodgers a much better chance at beating the third best passing defense in the league.
Yeah. I agreed. I mean, it's going to be brilliant to watch. Incidentally, old Colts Packers, as well as Ravens Titans, two live games this weekend. The Betfred are offering a free £5 bet if you stake a fiver or more on the pick your punt market on either of those live Sky games. So check out all the NFL markets on the Betfred app or at betfred.com. You've got to be 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org is the website, and please gamble responsibly. Right, time for your prop bet of the week.
I've actually gone quite bold with this one. I'm slightly nervous about it. I won't lie to you, Nat. I've gone for Marquise Brown to score a touchdown anytime.
Why are you nervous? I quite like that.
Let me make my case. So I'm a little bit nervous just because obviously he's only scored two touchdowns this year. And a lot of people questioning him. He only had two receptions and 14 yards against the Patriots, but he was being guarded by J.C. Jackson. He's obviously got the most interceptions of any corner in the league. And then he had a poor outing against an elite pass in the Colts the week before. So I think Hollywood's going to be looking to prove the doubters wrong against this Titans D. And obviously, when the last time the Ravens played the Titans was last year in the playoffs, everyone remembers the loss. But what people don't remember is that Brown went for 126 yards off seven catches. So I think he knows exactly how to beat this defense. And considering the fact that Lamar Jackson is being questioned and considering the fact that he's being questioned, I think they're going to go out there and want to prove a point. And I honestly think they will. I'm not leaning towards anything in terms of the game here, in the line or the total, but I think there's going to be a lot of stuff to play with in terms of the prop bets. And Marquise Brown to score a touchdown anytime is my favourite.
Love it. All right. And as we've established, all big on the prop. So all the way through the rest of the season, we'll be weighing in with some more. We all will be weighing in with some props on Edge Rush. And we're also going to end things every episode with our lock of the week. So it could be a game that we've already talked about, or indeed a prop bet we've already talked about. It might be something different. So each of us has got a lock of the week, the thing we like the most, the bet we like the most. I'll kick off, Bo. I'm going to go with the Saints over. Saints Falcons over, right? So this is around 51 at the time of recording, right? And that's actually quite a crucial number as well, of course, in terms of the totals. The Falcons are giving up 28 points per game on average, a lot of yardage, mainly through the air as well. Atlanta offense to be a humming again. They're averaging 30 points per game in the last four. Calvin Ridley should be fit after the bye. He's had six touchdowns this season. Julio's obviously in there as well. Matt Ryan will, I think, relish the chance against the Saints D that, yes, has definitely stepped up. The Bucs game's a great example of that. But I think you can get a Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins. And so I reckon Ryan will air it out. I don't think there's any doubt of that. And I think they'll land a few blows there. By the way, Kamara's had as many touchdowns as the New York Jets this season.
That doesn't surprise me in any.
That one either, because I love it. So I am going over 51. Saints Falcons is my lock of the week.
Interesting. I have a couple of stats for you.
You're going to destroy my argument right here.
Not necessarily. It depends what you think about these over-under statistics in terms of... So the first three Falcons games went all over, but then since then, the last six, only two have gone over. Mm. And then, amazingly, the first seven Saints games all went over the spread, mm-hmm. and the last two have gone under. Mm-hmm. So it depends how much you read into those trends. I do like that. My only concern is the New Orleans Saints defense is so much better than it was.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason that those last two games have gone under is purely for the fact that they've only conceded one touchdown.
Well, one of those games under was that insane game against the Bucs, right? Which, I mean, you know, you play that game 99 times out of 100, it doesn't go under.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I understand that. How many times are you going to keep the Bucs to 3 points?
I suppose as well that if this season, 50 is kind of the even higher than that, right?
You know,
last year, previous years, 51's a big line. This season,
it is.
2020, it's like not. This doesn't worry me too much.
I believe it's the average, actually. I think 51 is the average amount of points in the NFL right now, which is interesting for listeners looking at the fact that majority of the over-unders this week are all in the 40s. So maybe a weekend to go after the overs. Although for my lock of the week, I'm going to steer clear of the over-under. I'm going for one that you'll be very happy about. I am going for Miami to beat Denver.
Love it.
With the points at -3.5.
Love it.
In search of their first win at home this season, they're 0-4, while Miami are 3-1 in road games. Since week 5, the Dolphins defense have only allowed 17.2 points on average and is the second in getting quarterback pressures. And I think whether it's Drew Lock or Brett Ripien, I don't think the Broncos are going to have any chance of being able to handle this Dolphins defense. And especially when you consider the amount of problems they caused Justin Herbert and Keelan Allen last week, I just think that we see the Dolphins continuing this run. Do you agree?
I've got them for the win with the points as well. The way I'm looking at it, I think inevitably there's so much focus on Tua and it's exciting and it is getting better week on week. As a rookie quarterback should, by and large. But it is, as you rightly say, spot on, it's the defense that is the foundation of this team. And Flores, love Flores and what he's doing. I mean, the game plan against the Rams was brilliant. Just getting in his head, getting in Goff's head and dialing it up and leveraging that old Belichick patronage. Really like, and special teams too. I like the weapons around, and Denver is not at the races whatsoever. It's a great shout. I love it. I love it.
You know, the only thing that scares me now?
Tell me.
The insane amount of money that has come in on Miami.
Right.
It's about 95% of money has come in on Miami, but the line hasn't moved.
Mm.
That's the only thing that scares me. Everything about this game says that Miami should easily beat Denver. Easily. Yeah. It says that Denver should score very few points, that Miami should cruise to victory. Their special teams probably score another touchdown. But at the same time, why are the bookies not moving that line then?
There are always some games like that. I suppose what you could look at, because it's over 3 as well, and 3 is a crucial line, and we'll get into this as the Ed Rush shows roll, but looking at teasing and maybe taking a line and bringing it under those key numbers, so like teasing them to 2.5 and bringing in another bet, so you're basically doubling down and looking at it that way. If you're slightly worried about that, I know what you mean. There are some things that seem so crystal clear.
Yeah,
the cold light of day. You think, how did I fall into that trap?
It's a trap.
It's one of them. You know, I think Denver, as you say, are terrible offensively. As Drew Lock goes for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Exactly, that's the thing that I'm scared of. It feels like it could happen, but all of my senses, all of the logic, all of the reason, all of the money is going on Miami, so that means that has to be my lock of the week.
I like it. There we go. Then those are our locks of the week. Go over Saints, Falcons, take Miami, Give the points up as well. There we go. Incidentally, before we get out of Dodge, it is essential to point out that Betfred supports Safer Gambling Week. They have an extensive range of tools that allow customers complete control over time and money that they spend gambling to keep it fun. Betfred firmly believes that gambling should be an enjoyable leisure activity for everybody. So for more information about that, begambleaware.org or head to the responsible gambling section on the website or the Betfred app. There we go. That is our very first Edge Rush Propo. Saluting you. Fine work, my friend. Bring in some serious stats and angles. Let's find out how it all plays out. Enjoy the action on Sunday. We're back on Monday with our next episode of the Nat Coombs Show, looking back at this is a really fascinating weekend. I can't wait to get into that. I can't wait to get into the radio studio, do our live show, and then get back on the pod for Monday. So it will be dropping into your podcatcher of choice some point on Monday. And incidentally, if you haven't, checked us out on social media, at the NC Show, right? Oh, there's lots of good stuff on there. Lots of video as well. So, hey, we might drop some video with you on, so our listeners will get their very first look at Propo.
Yeah, exactly. The shame is that I completely overestimated my capability to grow a moustache for November. So if we could potentially delay the first video being released till December, when I can actually shave, that would be a massive, I'd be very grateful.
What I'll do is I'll get Dave, one of our creative team, just to put one on and post.
I don't think I want that either, knowing you. I don't think I want that either.
Look after yourself. Great work, Carl. We will see you Monday. Okay. Bye for now.